Hey, it's party time, Mom. Welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show here in the mothership that is Studio 22. We are going to take you a long way around today on some very interesting topics with a very special guest. But before we get into it, of course, I got to remind you guys that the Puppet Master, Mark, is sitting at the helm.
Hello.
Pretty good. You doing okay?
You know, I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
I got to say.
Pretty good. We're going to come out with the brand new Pretty Good t-shirts with the Puppet Master because he knows two words. Pretty good. And so we're going to put them on theblaze.com. We're going to sell Pretty Good t-shirts, and you're going to get them. It's going to be your Pretty Good t-shirt. Mm-hmm. You like that idea?
They're pretty comfortable.
Don't start expanding the vocabulary, man. To his left, over my shoulder, Candice, the queen of the Ethiopians, sitting on the throne. Hello, darling.
Hi, how are you?
How are you?
Good.
You look very cute today.
Thank you.
You're also, I'm going to put you in my pocket.
Okay.
There we are. I mean, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do her okay shirt. So, because that's her thing. When I'm going too far, she just goes, okay. So we're going to have a pretty good shirt and an okay shirt. How about that?
I mean, so far the okay has worked.
The okay
to where
works.
We switch topics pretty quickly.
I am twice your age and you still intimidate the hell out of me. That's all
that's
I'm
good.
Say.
Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like you ever have that person that like I text you and then I don't hear from you for a few hours and I'm like, is she mad at me? Did I do something wrong?
That's how you'll know.
Like, I have children your age.
You one time replied, gracias to me.
Yeah.
And I said, I speak English, Chad. And there was a full, 2-hour wait on the reply. And then I was just like, just kidding.
And she okay. said, I'm kidding. Ha, 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 ha. And I said, don't you mean J-A-J-A-J-A-J-A. Sitting over in the peanut gallery, as always, the fixtures party foul, Steve, is hitting out. And the Texas legend. Steve Helms, you boys.
Hi, buddy.
We're going to have a good time today. We're going to have fun because sitting here in the hot seat is my buddy, Aubrey Huff. Huffy, welcome to Studio 22, man.
Chad, man. Thanks for having me on, buddy. Had you on my podcast. Yeah. I had to come return the favor.
I know.
An added bonus, may I say, for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to Texas. Grew up about 40 minutes west of here in a little town called White Settlement,
yeah.
Which I'm obviously a racist because that's where I grew up. But man, I'm looking around. You know, now I've started this podcast. I got about 15 episodes in. I'm looking around. I'm small mice nuts compared to you.
Yeah, well,
this is great, man.
Well, I overcompensate in pretty much everything I do. You know what I mean? But this is nice. Studio 22 was set up as a temporary studio. They're building out the new, doing the construction on the new studio across the way. So we're looking forward to that. But this is like home for us in here because we've been through, because we didn't have for like 6 months, we didn't have air conditioning in here.
Oof.
And it was brutal.
I bet. Being in Texas, what, 97 degrees
it was
in here?
Brutal. And then we had Glenn Beck on.
Swamp ass.
We had Glenn Beck on an episode. 2 days later, we had AC.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah, that works.
We got to get y'all out of here.
He's got a little bit more pull than you do.
Just a tad.
Yeah.
Just a tad. Aubrey Huff, of course, played 12 seasons?
13.
13 seasons.
Do your homework before you have anybody on.
I know. Well, I don't like to do that.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Like, I love to pick on some of our friends, like Jeffy Fisher. He's got a podcast called Chewing the Fat, and he comes on, and I'm like, the name of his podcast is, what is it again? just to mess with him, because research is for, smart people. Two-time World Series champ with the San Francisco Giants. My first question to you, and we're going to get into several different things, and I like it. You have an incredible story, but my first question, this is the thing that right up front I really care about, really, really
care
about.
I think I know
about.
Where you're going.
No, I don't think you do. Not yet. What does it feel like to hit 3 home runs in one single major league game?
You know, it's funny. When I got to the big leagues, I had like a list of accomplishments I wanted to do. Things that were, pretty rare. You know, pitcher throws a no-hitter, perfect game, what have you. As a hitter, I wanted to at least get 100 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Did that. Wanted to hit 30 home runs in a season. Did that. Wanted to hit for the cycle, even though I'm slow as hell. You know, I actually got the triple one day in Baltimore. I don't know how it happened.
And I saw you're in the park home run.
And I had the inside the park home run. Another list I wanted to do. And I never wanted to do that again. That's a one-time thing.
That's hard.
Because I needed a cigarette after that run. It was rough, man. I mean, I'm rounding third in San Francisco. I hit a ball right center field. Hits off one of those archways. Kareem's off. And I'm like, I'm halfway to say, oh no.
Yeah.
I just knew I knew I had it, but I knew I had to hustle.
They were going
to
wave you.
And I came in, slid in, got the inside the park with Homer, cooled down, went right to the back in the training room, had a little heater, kind of catch my breath.
Yeah.
Went back out there. So the 3 home run game, was it in St. Louis?
St. Louis.
Yeah. I'm not getting a 3 home run game in San Francisco.
Right.
Just not going to happen. It's 421 in right center. But yeah, man, I hit the first two. I've had plenty of 2 home run games before. And that was one of my lists of accomplishments. At the time, we were beating the Cardinals pretty handily. I think it was like 12-3 or something. Most of the starters that came out. And I know Boach wanted to have me out because it was getting late in the season. And I told him, no, I don't want to come out. I got a chance for three. And so I stayed in. They bring in a lefty and kind of out fronted a slider. Barely went out to right field, but when it went out, man, it was pretty cool, man. It felt like I was hitting my first one in the big leagues once again.
That's awesome.
It's interesting you have the three on your hat, so that's a good question.
Three up, three down, man.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
you see the little arrows on there?
Yeah.
That's those baseball is.
There you go.
No, that was pretty amazing. I mean, I just figure at that point you gotta be so in the zone.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're just cruising.
Like I saw
the ball was, like a volleyball coming at you.
Oh, absolutely. I saw Pilar the other day for the Giants a couple nights ago, actually. Mm-hmm. He was 5-for-5, and he came up for the sixth at bat. I'm like, I guarantee you he's getting a hit right here.
Yeah.
First pitch, it don't even matter where the pitch is. You're going to get a hit because you're so locked in. It's literally, like you said, it's like a volleyball coming up at you. You're so locked in.
I'll tell you about getting in the zone right here. Listen, we've got to do this. We got to pay the bills right here. The Amazon Capital One data breach hit. As you all know, we talked about it. 106 million of us had our names, homes, addresses, and banking information exposed. Forget credit card theft. Your far greater risk is home title fraud. Title fraud is rampant because identity thieves figured out the title and mortgages to your homes are on. They're online. They're on the internet. And the big payday comes when they forge your name off of your home's title so it appears that they own your home. And then they borrow all your equity till it's all gone. You can forget about your insurance, your bank, or identity theft program. They don't touch this, but Home Title Lock does. And they do it by locking down your home's online title and mortgage the first 60 days after crimes like the Amazon server, Capital One breach are crucial. So I got a 60-day risk-free Home Title Lock protection. You can claim your 60 risk-free days of protection. HomeTitleLock.com. Enter your home address. See if you're already a victim. Scary stuff. That's HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. I can remember back when I was playing
high school
baseball. Yeah. And playing high school baseball, and we had those summer leagues because we played pretty heavy. We played 120 games through the summer in high school. We were serious about
this.
This
is Texas.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, no, I was in Georgia at the time.
Oh, okay.
I grew up in Georgia. And so we had a batting cage in my house, right? So we'd sit out there, the boys, I mean, we 18 years old, we'd drink some beers, get a little buzz, and have games that night. And I played better with a little buzz. I was like, you know what?
You know,
lost the inhibitions. I was doing great. I was crushing the ball.
Now that I'm out of the game, I'm a little bit more transparent of what really happens in the locker room, especially on my podcast. And in the minor leagues, we had, I think, the final game of the year. And we're in the minor leagues, man. You're ready to go home so bad. I mean, you're going on 18-hour road trips every night. And you're drinking, a bottle of Jack on an 18-hour road trip. You got your buddy next. You pass out. You got Doritos all over you. You go play a game that day. The last game of the year, we just wanted to get out there and go home. Every car's packed. We had this bet in the locker room. All right, boys. And I think I initiated this, but I said, all right, whoever has the best game out there tonight, sees the less amount of pitches, wins the pot of $100. So we all put in $100, each guy in the lineup, $900. And I said this the day before that game. So I said, we have to all go out the night before the last game, and we all got to go just get wrecked, right? So we come out, we go out that night, get wrecked, have the day game the next day and getaway day. We're all just stumbling in there. We have the $900 ready to go. One of the clubhouse kids has it. Went out there, I think I went 2-for-3 with a home run, saw four pitches.
Wow.
Four pitches. Won the pot, driving home with $900 in my pocket. As a minor leaguer, man, that's big money.
Sure.
It's big money. But a lot of guys, you'd be surprised in the big leagues just how many guys are out there hungover that have their best games. As a matter of fact, I think that three-homer game is in the Cardinals. I think I might have been a little
You might have been a little lit.
Yeah. But there was always a little special help, if you really need it out there. I mean, I did some Adderall back in the day.
You did a lot of Adderall.
I did a lot of Adderall.
You did a lot of Adderall.
That stuff will burn through any hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were doing, what did you say, like 100 milligrams?
You know, I started out with 20 in 2009. Obviously, I was hungover one day. A buddy walked in the clubhouse. I'm laying in Chicago in this dingy, dark area for a 1 o'clock day game, and he just saw my face. He knew I was struggling. He goes, hey, man, have you ever been popped for a drug test? No, not really. And at the time, you get a slap on the wrist if you get caught. I'm like, what the hell? What do you got? So he told me he had an Adderall. And I'm like, okay. He gives me the little pill. Pretty unassuming, right? That's not going to do much to me. Pop that 20 down. Within 30 minutes, it was like Bradley Cooper in Invincible.
Yeah.
You know, the light bulb turns on, and I ran right out there and had the one of the most amazingly fun time. I think it went 0-for-4, but I didn't give a crap.
Yeah, right?
I had so much fun. Great time. The only problem was I couldn't fall asleep that night.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of pound it in submission with like 12 beers. Only way to get over it again, the next day after the hangover, do it again. And that lasted for 3 years. Did that for a long time. But yeah, man, that stuff is a very powerful drug. It's a problem in baseball. It's a problem in sports. It's a problem for a lot of people, actually.
So I can remember like listening to Leo Mazzoni back when he was with I think he'd gone to Baltimore at the time as a pitching coach. Mm-hmm. He'd left Atlanta. And they were having a big conversation about, you know, guys popping greenies back in the day. And, you know, those just getting those uppers going down in the tunnel and doing those things. But, I mean, it became a lifestyle for you in terms of
– It did.
Like
it did.
An addiction.
I mean, well, the greenies regard. Thing, I tried the greenies thing a little bit earlier in my career, and that didn't do anything for me. Yeah. You know, those things were illegal. It didn't really matter. All they did was make my tongue numb. You know, it didn't do anything for me. But these Adderalls, for whatever reason, the brain chemistry, whatever it may be, boy, that got me jazzed up out there.
And I don't think people realize how long a baseball season is. I mean, 162 games in a season, and you're playing in – You know, you're back and forth. You're in and out of these time zones. You're playing in heat. I mean, the guys, you talk about the Texas Rangers over here. I mean, these guys, it's 120 degrees down on the field and just brutal. Or even hotter, and you're playing in a polyester uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're getting in some of these towns from West Coast to East Coast at 3 in the morning. You got a day game the next day. This may be 95th game of the year, and you're 35 years old. You know, you got two kids at home. So you're thinking to yourself, my gosh. I mean, the last thing you want to do is go play a baseball game.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 162. It's double of any other sport. So mentally, I think baseball, more than any other sport, you have to have a little bit more of a mental edge about you than most other sports.
Yeah. Wake up, Steve Helms. Listen, you having a hard time over there? You sleepy?
No, man. I'm just living just baseball dreams for
I know,
you.
Right? I know, right? I know. And that's why I called on you, because it was you know, every time you go to the Rangers ballpark over here, you go to Globe Life, and you're going to hear Steve Helms sing Nowhere But Texas to start the game. And he's even got his own beer, Nowhere But Texas beer now. Did you see that? I heard somebody.
At the ballpark, too. You can have a beer there, too.
Yeah, well,
Steve, did you play? You played?
I played high school ball.
Okay.
I had a chance to go to college, and I wanted to be a country music star.
That worked out for you, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm here with Chad Prather.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Woo! Hanging out. You stay pretty busy.
You've had a lot of success
in the music industry.
I'm very blessed at what I get to do, yes.
But you have had opportunity to go, like you'll go down spring training and stuff like that over the years.
Yeah, the Rangers have played one of my songs for the last 12 seasons. Yeah. I've got a lot of buddies that play Major League Baseball, and I've got to know a lot of them. And it's funny because ball players want to be singers. Singers want to be ball players, so it's like everybody wants to hang out with each other. You know?
Yeah, we'd have Metallica come into the clubhouse in San Francisco, and I'm sitting there meeting Lars, right? And I'm sitting there like, these are the guys I worshipped in high school, right?
Right.
And I'm shaking their hand, I'm shaking, he's shaking right back.
He's
right?
Doing like, the same thing to you, exactly.
I'm like, wow, this guy's looking up to me, it's crazy. Speaking of baseball, and some of the Rangers guys, did you ever meet, and speaking of drugs, did you ever meet Josh Hamilton?
Oh, yeah.
I did not. I didn't know Josh.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, I played with him in Tampa right when all that stuff, Chad, was going down. Yeah.
They just inducted him into the Rangers Hall of Fame, the Ring of Circle, or the Circle of Honor kind of thing they do, just a couple nights ago, though.
I mean, it's a kid that's got a great heart, great human being.
He's
just
been
got
through a lot.
Up
he came through like, put himself through a lot.
Right.
And, you know, I got to know Josh a little while back after he'd gone through his divorce. He got remarried.
Oh, he did get remarried?
He got remarried, into a sweetheart. And, you know, I won't tell his business out of turn, but, yeah, that was – he put himself through a lot, did a lot of things that were there. But, I mean, you talk about a guy who had to be – they paid, I think at the time, his father-in-law. They were paying him almost $200,000 a year to travel with the team and chaperone him.
Because
he couldn't even go in a restaurant that served alcohol.
Huh.
They had to, you know, stay away from it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I saw Ian Kinsler a little while back and I was talking about it. I was like, because, you know, he got busted at the Italian restaurant drinking liquor through a 7-Up cup, Josh was, and Ian's in there with him. And that's when the whole thing kind of fell out again.
Mm.
I'm like, Ian, what were you doing, man?
Right. You watch your boy there, huh?
Yeah.
Gotta take care of the teammates there.
What are you doing? But I want to get back into that because you talk about hard stories. You've got an interesting story that you know, I read your book. It's just a tremendous book, and it's great. Just the story's incredible. Your father, tell the story.
Yeah, so my father, I was 6 years old, and my mom comes home from Winn-Dixie one day, and she worked at the meat market. And all of a sudden, she walks through the front door at my grandmother's house watching Transformers and Optimus Prime. You know those guys, yeah. Right? Right. And so she comes through the front door. She's red-faced. She's crying. I look over. I have no idea what's going on. My grandma and grandpa come console her. They come up right next to me in front of me and kneel down and tell me that my dad was murdered, killed, and he will no longer be coming home. And I'm like, whoa. You know, at 6 years old, I didn't really kind of get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I just continued watching Transformers. I'm like, whoa, in the world. Anyway, I remember at the time, looking back at it now, I never really dealt with that. I don't think I ever cried as a young man. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of just pent that all in. About a year later, my mom shows up at my grandmother's house, again, my sister. She shows up, and she's starting to see that I'm taking a liking to baseball. My grandmother loves the Texas Rangers, loved watching them on TV, so I started naturally watching them at nighttime with them. And she shows up after work one day and brings Texas Rangers tickets, and they're literally 45 minutes up the road. We go to the game, and at the time, I was starting to do like little every Major League Baseball team canvas painted, you know, acrylic painting.
You're a good painter, by the way.
I'm a pretty good painter.
You're a good painter.
Very artistic. Not Glenn Beck good.
No, you're good.
But pretty decent.
You're really good.
But so I take this canvas with me in hopes of getting some autographs. And I'm down next to the dugout, the Texas Rangers, about 4:15 during batting practice. And Jeff Houston was a shortstop for the Rangers at the time, which happened to be my grandmother's favorite player. He comes up to me and signs my canvas. And he goes, man, son, that's good. Did you paint that? I'm like, I sure did. So he gets like 12, 13 other guys coming from the batting cage to come over and sign my canvas. And I remember looking at these guys thinking, man, these are my heroes. These are real men. Baseball in that moment, I realized, became my father, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of replaced that. We get in the car that day. I don't remember who won the game. I'm driving home. I go, Mom, you buy me a batting cage and a pitching machine. I'm going to make it to the major leagues one day. And when I do, I'm going to buy you a house and a car. And she's like, oh, as a mom would, working at Winn-Dixie, that's nice, sweetheart, but I can't afford it. And so over the next couple of years, she sees I'm still into baseball. I'm becoming one of the better guys in Little League. And Christmas, my nine-year-old birthday, my birthday is December 20th. Christmas just happens 5 days later. We're opening presents. And the last present's there. My sister's opening up the last present. I'm losing it. Oh, well, I don't have a present. I think Santa's mean to me, whatever. My grandpa was kind of a hard ass back, you know, big Texas man. He's like, get up, boy. Quit your crying. Puts a bandana over my eyes, walks me out back. They'd fully erected a batting cage in the backyard they bought a pitching machine for me. And I couldn't have been more stoked. And I told them both right there, I'm going to hit 200 baseballs every day until the day I graduate. And I'm going to make it to the major leagues. I'm going to buy you that house and car one day. And that's what I did. And every day I would hit that baseball. As the baseball's coming out, I would envision myself hitting a game-winning two-run home run or game-winning home run in the World Series at the ballpark in Arlington. Mm-hmm. If you fast forward to 2010, I know you don't like this story very much.
Not happy about it.
But you know, I'm with the San Francisco Giants, game four in Arlington Stadium, 2010.
Yet.
Tommy Hunter.
Time out. Let me check this.
There you go. Drink down those sorrows, baby. Mm. Tommy Hunter throws me a first pitch cutter on the inside corner, runner second base, top of third, bang, right down the right field line, just like I envisioned all those times. Tattooed it, man. And win the World Series a night later. And so just that power of visualization to that story. And, you know, when I signed my first, going back to 2003, I signed my first big deal, 3 years, $15 million. First thing I did was get my mom and a house and truck.
That's amazing.
Since she's a redneck woman, she wanted a Dodge Ram.
Absolutely.
That's right. Good woman.
I love that.
Good country girl.
Did you like playing did you pick a league that you liked playing in over another?
You know, I always played in the American League, man. I played in the American League my first 9 years, and then I went to the San Francisco Giants for the last three of my career. And I found it a lot more strategy, a lot better brand of baseball, if you will. There was no DH. I love DHing now, don't get me wrong. Matter of fact, I think I was a DH when I hit that home run in game four because we were playing in the ballpark in Arlington. And the DH, obviously, you can have that in the American League parks in the World Series. But, you know, the National League style of ball is just so much more strategy. You got to put defense in, you know, different, you know, double switches, all kinds of things. So you have to actually manage. I think in the American League, you can manage the American League. You know, Joe Torre was this unbelievable manager in New York, and I say this all the time. Dude, you could have put that lineup together. Jeter,
not Nala, that hard.
Martinez,
Joe Girardi comes in, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
And you close with Mariano Rivera, open with Roger Clemens. Ooh, that's tough. You know?
Yeah. And we talked about this before. First time I ever went to a game in San Francisco, sat right there. I could have reached out and grabbed Baumgartner on the ass, right?
And you don't want to grab him on the front side because he's hung like a baby elephant.
He's this
boy.
Big around.
Dude, I'm telling you what, you see him in the shower, it's the most impressive thing. See this whiskey cup? That thick, this long.
Madison Baumgartner. Thank God a dude with a name like that has a big old schlong.
Yeah.
He's hung like a baby, 6 pounds and 21 ounces.
That's the real hammer.
But we were sitting knees up against the dugout, right? And first time my wife and I were there. And I remember looking at the stadium going, my God, that's a long way to right center field. Yeah. You know, and if you're launching balls into the bay out there. But the fans were great. I could tell. There was a great fan base there. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I didn't like the park itself. I've been to a ton of big league parks. I felt like I was at a big college stadium on steroids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Did you like playing there?
Loved playing there for the fans. The fans were great. Obviously, I came from Tampa Bay, Baltimore. Didn't have a great fan base, so anything above that was going to be A+ anyway. But they were first class all the way. But I will say this. The park was not my first choice to want ever hit in. Mm-hmm. I just signed with them in 2010 for a 1-year, $3 million deal. I had an absolute dog piss year the previous year in Detroit, so my options were limited. Mm-hmm. Basically, San Francisco was my only place. And the minute I went in there for my first batting practice, I'm thinking to myself, how the hell did Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs here? I don't give a damn if you did steroids or not.
HGH.
I don't care. I don't care.
I mean, you still got to be a man to hit.
My best bolt to right center, I could barely get it out on a good day. And just the fact that he could do that on a consistent basis. And I have a beef with Major League Baseball. And if I was ever commissioner, I tell people this all the time. First of all, we're going to put dancing girls on the dugout. Mm-hmm. That's number one. But more importantly, number two, I want to take every field, since we're getting paid on stats and this is how guys are getting paid these days. Make every stadium the same dimensions, right?
Right.
It's not right. If I can go to New York and piss over that wall in right field every 81 home games and then have to hit in San Francisco as a left-handed hitter and have guys like Derek Jeter that can like fillet a ball to right and just barely go over, the ball's an out in San Francisco. So if you're going to pay on stats, make it just like every other sport. Football, same dimensions. You know, soccer's the same pitch. Basketball, NBA is the same size court. So to me, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I've agreed with that over the years. I think that you shared it, actually. There was a USA Today article talking about how baseball's become just unwatchable. I mean, those who are baseball lifers who have been around the game forever and ever and ever, Goose Gossage was talking about, can't watch today's baseball game. You still have the same dimensions, still 60'6" from home plate to the pitcher's mound, to the rubber. I mean, it's still 90 feet between bases. But the what they've made the game today, it's just a totally different thing. Do you agree with that?
No, it's completely different. We actually have Bruce Bochy on my podcast. Mm-hmm. It'll be coming out a couple of weeks from now. But, you know, we're talking about that, just how much the game has changed since he's even been a player back in the 70s till now. And he said, Huffy, it's unbelievable. It's really some of the ways it's why I kind of wanted to retire. It's just I can't keep up with all the information. Mm-hmm. There's so much out there. When I played, man, we barely had video of any opposing pitcher, barely any video that, you know, at VHS, you have to rewind and play in a slow motion. And I was never big on that thing, into that stuff anyway. My philosophy is see ball, hit ball. See it and hit it as hard as you can. I wasn't thinking about launch angle, spin rate, exit velocity, all this stuff now. This stuff has always been around.
Yeah.
But now all these geeks, analytic nerds, have invented a name for this stuff to be able to get into a game that didn't want them in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. Launch angle's always been there. But nobody, players, if you're out there hitting, Christian Yelich told me this on one of the podcasts we did with him. And this guy's got 41 home runs. And I think at the time he hit his 38th when we recorded the episode with him. And he told me, he goes, Aubrey, the last thing I'm thinking about when I go up the plate is launch angle.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the ball and I'm trying to hit it as hard as I can. Bottom line. And all you can do after you hit it hard is you can't control where it goes. You know, so, and that's kind of the way I looked at it. You know, a lot of people ask me, man, Aubrey, how did you hit the off-speed pitch? How'd you hit the curveball? I'm like, don't miss the fastball. You know, that's really as simple as it was for me. Yeah. Too many stats and I don't know.
No, my older brother was a big league statistician, and he was also a pitching coach with some minor league teams. And you know, even him, he was a stat geek. Like, and these days, the stats that are out there, it's ridiculous. I don't know how in the world they keep, you know, what did he hit with a guy on second and one out when the moon was at quarter, you know, right. it was, you know, on a semi, you know, the cumulus clouds were in the sky, the cirro nimbus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just gotten ridiculous.
Well, you know, I think what has happened, like we're talking about.
By the way, is anybody still thinking about Madison Bumgarner's penis?
Yeah, you might.
Anyone watching?
No. If you
the news and why it matters, Sarah Gonzalez sitting in over here. Yeah. She's raised
first
her hand.
One
God
raise
bless
her
you.
Hand.
I just outed you.
Yeah, it's
raise your hand if you're watching this and commenting.
I intentionally when I go shower when he went in there, because it made me feel like I was hung like a 6-year-old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I just want to feel young again.
Yeah, man, I can't do it. I can't. I mean, I feel like I'm an average, you know, white male.
You're a
in
white
the shower,
guy.
Right?
You're 6'4", 240.
I mean, my goodness, it was embarrassing. But
statistics.
Yeah. But
and statistically speaking, Madison Bumgarner just kills the curve, right, when it comes to white men.
Yeah. I mean, okay, he destroys us. But, you know, I did a tweet the other, I guess this morning, it's actually this morning, talking about how, you know, in that article you were mentioning about bunting, sacrifice bunting's gone, hit and run. You don't see it no more.
Right.
It's all about the home run. And I remember bunting in the World Series in game 5 for runners at first and second, bottom of the 7th, top of the 7th, with Cliff Lee on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, Cliff Lee's a lefty. I'm a left-handed batter. I'm getting these two runners over. My first time in my career in 13 years, I sacrificed bunt. It was beautiful. Perfect. Got the runners over. Next guy, Pat Burrell, strikes out. And then Edgar Renteria hits a 3-run homer, puts us ahead, wins the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, you know, somebody tweeted at me, oh, you've never bunted in your life. I showed him that video. Oh, but you know, you gave up an out there. I'm like, wait.
That's the game of baseball. Yeah.
In a situation, you got to know the situations, right? In a situation, game 5 World Series, Cliff Lee ain't giving up any runs. I'm getting him over there, and hopefully a ground ball can get one run in. You know, and in game 53 in the regular season, first and second, nobody out with me up, probably not going to bunt there. But you got to know the situations. And I think all these analytic nerds, they rely so much on this data that they forget the gut. They don't know how to play the gut. And that's why Bruce Bochy was so good.
Yeah. And a lot of catchers, you know, make great managers. I mean, obviously we've talked about
that. That's the new trend.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, those are the guys that were kind of the coaches on the field anyway. They kind of control that thing. And you've seen that over the years, that trend that's gotten bigger and bigger. We mentioned Joe Torre and Joe Girardi.
I think Brad Ausmus is one of the new. Yeah, Brad Ausmus.
That's exactly right. You know, we've had, you know, a ton of those guys over the years who do it. And because that's the thing. I mean, you know, I can remember reading something a long time ago that said, 90 feet may be the most, might be the most, what was the word they used? It was the most profound thing in sports. Because if it's any further apart, every guy gets thrown out. If it's any closer, nobody gets thrown out. So for the human condition in athletics, the biggest perfection in sports is 90 feet.
I never thought of it that way.
Between the bases.
But when I think about it, all the years I probably missed being safe by that much,
right?
Or beating it out by that much. Oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way.
But that's the game. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, this the perfection of the layouts. I do think the links, the distance. I mean, where was it? Atlanta, when they built the new deal, it was 306 down the line.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, 306? I mean, that's a pop fly that got away from you. I mean,
San Francisco down the right field line, I think it's around 305.
Yeah.
But the wall is 40 feet tall.
Well, it's 40 feet tall.
Right.
So you got a 40-foot brick wall. And then, of course, that thing, the angle on that, you can't tell this from television. You really can't tell it sitting from the stands. But that thing,
your
lines are here, 330, typically 330 down the lines. And then, zing, you're at 420.
Right, 421 with a 40-foot wall.
Yeah.
So my thing was, you know, at least in San Francisco, If you notice when you're there, there's no bullpens, you know, in the outfield or a place for the pitchers to be. All the pitchers are in the dugout, and when they're called upon, they run out there like in high school and like throw on the sidelines.
Which is
and
one of the things.
And they have a catcher guarding them. So for a big league stadium, that's embarrassing.
Things why I said it's reminding me of a college.
Right. You know? So you got 421 feet to right center field. You've seen Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. They got the same thing, double-decker bullpens in right center field for San Francisco, if I was commissioner for a day, besides the dancers on the dugout.
Yeah, I agree. You think the balls are juiced 100%?
1 million percent.
Yeah.
So I got a good buddy that lives in San Diego, Mike Sweeney, played for the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
He's with the Royals organization now. He comes in town and works with all the young guys and, you know, flies all the single-A, double-A, triple-A places. And he was there this spring training. He goes, Huffy, let me tell you something. I picked up these balls. It's almost like holding a golf ball. And the seams, not only the seams usually are kind of higher, they're actually lower now. So, and it makes sense. Guys are hitting 30 home runs nowadays like it's nothing.
Yeah, you got guys like Altuve that are 4 foot nothing.
Right, and he's hitting 30.
Cranking them.
Right. I mean, these don't take any away from these guys.
Of course
not. They're hitting, they're good hitters. But the power these guys are showing. Yeah. I mean, Cody Bellinger for LA, I mean, look at the guy. He's probably 6'3", 195, soaking wet. Christian Yelich, he was to a man on my podcast, said, listen, I'm 6'3", on a good day, 190.
Yeah.
These are not lean massive guys, right? So what has happened in Major League Baseball, I believe, they've done a hell of a job getting the steroids out and the drug testing. These guys get popped the minute they start taking steroids now. So I think that's legitimately gone. But what they had to do to replace the excitement of the long ball was find a way to hit more with these guys that are not no longer look like Mark McGwire and you know, Jose Canseco. So what they've done is they found a way with the baseballs to tighten them, wind them a little tighter, and now these guys are hitting home runs at epic proportions.
Killing it.
Killing it.
And that's, and if somebody that handles the baseball for a living, you can tell when there's a difference.
Oh, I think so, 100%.
Okay, you can't. I mean, okay, think about it like this. You've handled enough. You know, I can remember playing as a kid. You could go to the Academy sporting goods store, right? And you're going to get that little league ball that's a little bit more spongy or whatever. Then you're going to pick up another ball. You can feel the difference in these balls.
Absolutely.
If you're a pro ball player, especially if you're a pitcher, and you're those seams matter.
Well, Justin Verlander made a tweet about it, I think. I play with Justin.
Yeah.
And Justin, you know, he's a very competitive guy, obviously dominating kind of guy. He made a tweet about, I think he gave up a couple homers in a game. And suggested the balls, you know, and there's no way those balls should have went out. First of all, I think that's a little bit of pride got hurt because somebody hit two home runs off him. But he's got a point. I mean, I saw some of those home runs, and they looked like they were out in front, going the other way off Justin Verlander, and they go out of the stadium. I'm like, wow. And you see it all the time, almost nightly. You watch Baseball Tonight or MLB Network, whatever it is. You'll see a guy that's out in front, his back knee hits the ground, and you can see he's reaching and just barely barrels it up, and it goes out. I mean, I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but there's something going on, right?
Yeah,
you know,
there's something different. There's they got to make the game exciting. And back to the point we said a little while ago, you're talking about Barry Bonds cranking him and hitting 72 out of there. Yeah, he was on steroids. He was doing the HGH. He was on all this stuff. But let me tell you something. I've known a lot of guys who are muscle bound on HGH. They can't hit a baseball.
You know what I mean? NFL guys come to celebrity batting practice like during the baseball season. I remember Mike Allstott for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah.
For those of you guys that don't know Mike Allstott, Tampa Bay Bucks fullback, guy was massive, huge shoulders. I mean, just runs people over. He went out there with a baseball bat one day, and he could barely even make contact. And when he did, and when he made solid contact, it barely got out of the infield.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, hand-eye coordination is a huge, huge deal. It's everything.
Like you talked about hitting 200 balls a day. I mean, I can remember the stories about when Bob Horner and Dale Murphy, I think Bob Horner had just – come up. He'd just gotten out of college. And so he had some of his aluminum bats. And so he and Dale Murphy sat out there at the old Fulton County Stadium in Atlanta, and they were hitting some BP with aluminum bats, and they were cranking them like up into the way up into the
Chad, decks. Let me tell you something, brother. Okay, so when I was in college, I went to University of Miami, all right? And every year at University of Miami, we played the Marlins, okay? And at the time, this was 97, 98, the Marlins had Gary Sheffield there. So Gary Sheffield comes to play against us. He's taking batting practice. You know, we're actually taking batting practice. And he steps in there, starts talking to all the guys. Great guy, by the way.
Sure.
And he's like, hey, let me hop in there. Let me hop in there with that aluminum bat. Now, at the time, aluminum bats aren't the way they are now. Aluminum bats back then were 34 inches, 29 ounces. He goes in there, does his little twist thing. And the balls he was hitting, Chad, had to be every bit of 550 feet.
Yeah, still traveling.
And if guys couldn't even play the infield, because if he had a line drive, it would kill them.
Kill them.
Yeah.
Kill them dead. I remember when they were talking about a wood shortage, and they were talking about doing some kind of an amalgam of an aluminum bat, kind of using a ceramic deal in the major leagues, and everybody was like, no, someone will die.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you see it a lot. I mean, you see it in college. That's why they changed the rules. Yeah. Look, Sarah looks like she's getting kind of bored with the talk over the business.
She's thinking about Mad Bum's weenie. I'm thinking about Kate Upton now that you mentioned Verlander.
Oh, jeez. Can you imagine that sandwich, man?
I mean, I'd give up a few home runs if I could go home and get consoled by that.
There's no shortage of wood there, is there?
Look at There you go. The Texas legend, Steve Helms, with a good joke right there.
Boom, boom.
Well, no lack of wood. I'm drinking again. Yeah, you gotta have some water. Hydrate because we're going out in the night.
You're taking me out tonight. Yeah. And I'm at that point in my life. I'm 42 years old, and you know, I think a lot of you older men out there will agree. You start drinking too early, your night's done.
Your night's done. Party time, Mom. Stay horned. Listen, the one of our big sponsors is GetRoman.com, and they can use promo code WATCHCHAD. I love them. God bless them. I'm telling you what, you can drink all the whiskey you want. Just pop those pills. Ready to go.
What, so is that a hangover pill?
No, it's for erectile dysfunction. And whether you got it or not, you drink enough whiskey.
It's a hangover pill.
Yeah, yeah. You can put a towel on that thing.
Really?
Yeah, you can hang your clothes to dry.
Well, now I got to tell you, now that I'm single, I've been in a divorce about a year and a half now, and I'm starting to get some of these younger 30-year-old kind of girls, man. And
yeah.
I tell you, they don't just want it one time a night. And I'm 42, man. Sometimes, whew.
Yeah, sometimes it's like getting that in the park homer again.
You do.
I got to go back there and get a heater.
Hey, give me a time. I'm going to have a cigarette. I'm going to regroup. I'm going to pound a gallon of water. I'll come take yourself a nap. Give me a tea. Huff Daddy needs a tea.
What you used to do all night, it takes all night to do now.
That's right.
That's like, I can remember, and this is true, you know. Older you get, I used to hear those old guys, they used to say, man, you go to the bathroom, you can't get it started, and once you do, you can't get it to stop. No. Age is a bitch, man. It really is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll own that. GetRoman.com's best thing since sliced bread. Hey,
make sure you get that to me after the show.
They're like, yeah, because you get online and you just type in your information, and you can get the no-name brand, you can get the brand names, whatever. The doctor prescribes it, and it shows up, and they're so proud of their discreet box. I'm like, they send it to me in a purple box. I don't care.
Have you tried it?
God, yeah.
And so is it like Cialis or Viagra? Is it better than Cialis? Better than Viagra?
They'll send you Viagra. They'll send you Cialis.
If that's
what you want. Okay. Or they'll give you the Sildenafil, which is the off-brand of the – that's like the non-name brand.
Okay.
Oh, that'll sell you whatever you need.
Nice.
Yeah, GetRoman.com. Yeah, use promo code WATCHCHAD.
Okay, yeah.
It's GetRoman.com/WATCHCHAD. And then you can watch Chad. Hey!
Now, that's a visual I don't – Madison Bumgarner, one thing. Yeah. Chad Prather, that's a whole other animal.
Exactly.
I don't know how you're hung in that department, my friend.
Well, God messed up.
He's hung like a bum gardener.
Like a Mexican gardener.
Jeez, so Friday. This went way off the rails.
Oh, I did.
I like it better that way. Though.
I do too. I like locker room.
You know, we're talking about analytics and. Look, Sarah's even perking up and laughing. She looks like she's suddenly about to fall asleep, and then we get back to the locker room talk, and you know, yeah.
You know, we were talking about this on Sarah's show. Mentioning Sarah, we were talking about, you know, Donald Trump and he's got to grab him by the pee thing, you know, and he's that, and it's like, come on, we've heard 9 million times worse than that in any locker room.
It's a joke, dude. And I got to tell you, when that came out, when I heard Donald Trump say that, I'm like, that was big news. That morning. I'm like, yeah, so?
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
To me, I look at that and I think to myself, you know, it's just nothing but a guy being in a situation with other guys, locker room talk that everybody says, right? He just so happened to get it recorded, right? Big deal. That didn't bother me at all. What bothered me was all these professional athletes that came to the rescue. Just pandering to the left.
Yeah.
Oh, and I won't name names, but they know who they are. There's plenty of them. Oh, I've never, I can't, it was not locker room talk. I've been in the big league clubhouse for 10 years. I have never in all my life heard anybody talk about a woman like that. I'm like, kiss my ass. Are you kidding me? Not only have I heard that.
I made a woman kiss my ass.
I heard it in detail, right? And, I mean, just like pornographic stuff that you don't see even porn stars do.
I was telling him the story a little while ago about Beckett telling about the whatever player was. It was Dominican that picked up the man.
Oh my God, his wife took
a man back.
Please don't make me tell that story.
I ain't going to tell that story. I told it to him. Hilarious.
Yes.
And I mean,
yes.
They all just have to wonder about
one.
No,
man, he was. Not me.
Yeah. she was. And then he was. And they were like, he did what? man, they were like, that's gay. And he goes, no, man, that's gay. He was doing it, not me.
Hey, listen, like I said, I played 13 years the big leagues, right? And per each team I played on, I can pretty much guarantee you one to two guys on that team were probably gay. That's okay.
Who cares? I mean, you know what? Get your freak on. I ain't gonna kink shame you.
No.
Not a bit.
No.
I mean, we're going out to Dallas tonight.
You would be amazing in a clubhouse. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
I know. Tell me more. And that's a compliment to me. That's a great compliment.
Chad would be good in a locker room, in a prison.
Speaking of somebody be good in prison, you're going to love this one, Sarah. And this is another penis locker room thing for all of you guys hanging on your on my voice right here listening to this. So I played in Baltimore, and there's this guy, my locker mate. He just happened to be of Dominican descent. And every day, I watch this guy every day for a month. He's a pitcher, obviously a big guy already. And he would go right there next to the locker was the kitchen. Mm-hmm. He'd go in the kitchen every day, get a styrofoam cup, large one, go to the bathroom every day. And I'm just sitting here watching him do that. I noticed the guy doesn't dip. So why is he taking? Most guys would go to them and dip while they're taking a dump.
Right? Yeah.
And so he kept going in there with the styrofoam cup. And then one day I'm like, hey, bro, why do you always go into the bathroom with a styrofoam cup? And he's, oh, papi, you know, when I take a dump, I have to put my penis in a cup in the water so it doesn't hit the poop water. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, okay. Hashtag.
These are third world problems.
Hashtag big man problems, right? Like, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, I don't have that problem whatsoever.
You
He said, I can't almost relate to that.
I mean, unless the toilet's overrunning, like it's starting to fill way up.
So I was curious. I had to ask the guy.
And it's like, always still going to hit my balls first.
I asked the guy, I go, listen, all these porn fetishes everybody has about the big penis, the big Johnson. I said, listen, buddy, when you have sex with a woman, how does it work? He goes, Poppy, seriously, it's like a blessing and a curse. Half the girls run because they don't want it. The other half, it hurts, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, poor things. And he goes, and what's sad about it? He said, Poppy, sometimes when I get really aroused, I almost pass out because the blood rushes so much to my penis that I lose blood in my head. I'm like, oh my gosh.
You gotta wear a girdle, man.
Better than this guy's better than Bumgarner, by the way. The best I've ever seen. It was impressive.
Oh, Candace. You got your work cut out for you, baby. Candice. I love, you know, when Candice came to us, she was so innocent, so young.
She still looks innocent
to
me.
Fresh out of college and just so innocent. Look at her over there. We make her
blush.
She
don't look innocent. Sarah doesn't look innocent.
Sarah knows exactly what's up.
I still had a little bit of life in my eyes, and now nothing.
She's Googling condos in the Dominican right now.
Get you a Dominican Republican. Find you a Dominican Republican. How about that?
Good luck finding one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting you said that, though. Mm. You know, you talk about, you can do a conservative kind of style show at times, too, but so we'll go a little off topic here. I guarantee you, all the guys I played baseball with, I would say, by and large, out of 13 years I played Major League Baseball, I would have to say about 85% of the guys are conservative.
Well, why wouldn't you be? I don't understand these social justice athletes out here.
Drives me nuts.
We were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I mean, to me, you're making all this money. Like, you heard my story before. Blood, sweat, and tears. 200 balls a day to live my dream, to get to where I was, while some other people ain't doing jack diddly with their lives, right? Why on earth would you support a system where it's a system that wants to tax you a little bit more, wants to bring socialism into it? You bust your butt so hard to make all this money, you just want to give it away to other people. It just, that thinking doesn't compute for me. Like, it just, I don't know, it's common sense, man. And the whole, you know, the athletes in NBA and Colin Kaepernick kneeling, it's, when I watch these things, man, I don't understand where the disconnect is with some athletes. Because baseball players, man, by and large, I would say most of them, you know, are of, you know, they're Caucasian guys. It's a Caucasian type sport. And then, you know, football, basketball, heavily dominated by African Americans. And it seems to be that NFL and NBA sway that way more on that political side of the left. And I just think that's just, I don't understand the thinking of why it would be like that for an athlete when you're making that kind of money.
Yeah, and just willing to give it away.
Just willing to give it away.
There's a reason why a lot of pro athletes live in Texas. They'll move here,
right,
and they live here in the off season. Again, they don't want to, we don't have a state income tax.
Yeah, when I played baseball, mm-hmm, I would be stupid to live in California.
Sure.
I was married at the time, and now when I retired, my ex-wife now wanted to move to California. I'm like, well, okay, we're not making any more checks. Okay, we'll try California. I desperately would love to leave that place, but the cost of living there is absolutely insane. I know the San Francisco Giants were looking to land Bryce Harper, and Philadelphia Phillies got him. I know for a fact, one of the reasons that he didn't want to sign with San Francisco was the state tax.
Yeah.
That he was going to get hit with that $330 million contract that he had. Yeah.
Brutal.
Brutal.
Brutal. And then you have the ones that don't want to go to the White House when they win the championship.
Yeah, listen.
Talk about that for a second. I got a gift for you. I'm going to step over here to my bag. Talk about the White House a little bit, because I know you got an opinion on that.
Yeah, so I was, 2010, we win the World Series, obviously, and I feel weird talking to, like, nobody that's in the seat. But so, 2010, win the World Series, and obviously, as the Giants, we went to the White House in 2011. President Obama was the president at the time. Now, I wasn't necessarily a fan of Obama. Didn't vote for him. Didn't agree with his policies. What do you got for me there, buddy?
GetRoman.com.
How do you even think of that when you're talking about athletes going to the White House?
He's still thinking about
the... And then you go to your
bag
to get...
Look at what it looks like, right? That's still down.
Here, give me some of that.
Yeah. Boom. Let me give it to you.
Okay.
There's five tablets.
Do you put it in your drink and switch it?
You could swallow them.
No.
I wish I had a styrofoam cup to give you, but I don't, buddy. I'm sorry.
I might have to use this.
Okay. Yeah, it's a fun little experiment.
We'll see how tonight goes. It is Monday night in Dallas, so I don't know.
When you take it, it'll kind of feel like your nose is getting a little stopped up for a little while because you get so...
Oh, it's like a Cialis. So
it opens everything up. Yeah, you get a little flushed.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Steve? Party foul?
I said he just committed a felony on the podcast.
Giving away drugs?
Yes.
Yeah. He hadn't taken them. I didn't sell them.
Well, it's not a felony if it's a sponsor.
I'd pay him, be fine.
No, maybe you pay him, maybe probably would be.
Well, then I would get in trouble then.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, we're promoting our company. So anyway, there you go.
It's an empty package.
I love it. This is so great. This is by far the best podcast interview I've ever done.
Hands down.
This is so much fun.
That's not a podcast.
Sarah, that was so good.
Sarah off camera said, well, you just taped mine.
That was not a podcast. That was news.
The news.
That was your show's bigger than his, so, okay. Isn't it?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, damn it. I tried to salvage what I could there. Damn. Okay. The White House. Man, I'm sorry. That was me.
Yeah. So you went to visit Obama. You were a big Obama fan.
So, it was 2011. Went to go meet Obama. And, I swallowed my pride. Yeah. He comes out, does his little spiel. Team's in the background. He shakes everybody's hand. I didn't care. I didn't care one bit who was the president. I was there for one reason only, to experience the White House.
Yeah.
I mean, how often do you ever get to do something like that? Yeah, you have your tours that you can go on for a regular person, but we got to see back rooms that nobody got to see, which is pretty awesome. And for me, you know, the whole big thing now is when Trump has athletes invited to the White House. And I think one of the big things was he had fast food for Clemson.
Yeah.
And that was a big outrage, right? Like, whoa, what a cheap ass bringing Clemson fast food. That's so un-American. I'm like, I don't think it gets any more American than that, by the
way.
And I thought to myself, wait a minute. When we visited in 2011 with Obama, we were supposed to be there at 10. The event was supposed to start at 11. Now, he's the president of the United States. Things happen. I get it. But we were there till 2 o'clock in the afternoon waiting for him to come out. And in the meantime, while we're waiting, there was no food to be had. There was no appetizers. There was no good food. There was no fast food. There was nothing. Yeah. Right? So, you know, where was the outrage then? San Francisco Giants don't get fed for lunch. But, you know, Trump does anything and gets crushed. But, you know, the whole athlete thing, not going to the White House anymore just because Donald Trump is president is driving me nuts.
Yeah,
I did a tweet about it. I was watching SportsCenter, and Alex Cora of the Boston Red Sox said that he wasn't going to have his team. He gave them option to go if they wanted to. But it was like a big news story on SportsCenter. And I'm tired of watching SportsCenter talk about politics. Mm-hmm. And I just got on my phone, and I just kind of took a video of myself. And I'm like, you know, if I have to hear one more team not visit the White House because of their political beliefs, I think I'm just going to cry, right? And especially you, SportsCenter, can you please just update us on sports? And please, for the love of God, athletes, just entertain us in the arena. To that extent is what I posted. Tweeted that out, and within a week, it had over 1 million views. Hate from the left, even from athletes, entertainers. Michael Rapaport was firing at me. Oh, that was a fun deal. I don't even understand how he. Can't even read his tweets. I don't even know what he's on. But yeah, it just led me to just realize how big that SportsCenter has gone off the hinges to kind of pander to the political arena. When all I want to watch is sports.
Yeah, and I know with like Stephen A. Smith and those guys, they get on their little platforms and doing all this stuff. And I know recently the ESPN came out with a news statement that said, we're not backing off. We're going to continue to do politics. We're going to continue to comment on this stuff. And I'm like, you guys, well, first of all, they're owned by ABC mm-hmm. and Disney and all those guys. So obviously that's right. a left-wing organization.
Right.
I mean, they're crazy and out there. And they're going to keep doing it.
Well, I mean, look at Curt Schilling. Yeah. I mean, Curt Schilling was on ESPN for quite a while, and we had him on the show on my podcast. We talked about this. And, you know, when he came out and talked about the transgender bathroom thing that was going on, I can't remember exactly what he tweeted, but it was something pretty, you know, against, you know, the same-sex bathrooms or what have you. Mm-hmm. And he got fired for it. And then you have somebody like Jemele Hill that came out. Can slander anybody any which way. I think she had some, I can't remember what she said, but it was definitely something that was very, very divisive.
Yeah.
I think she did it twice. Violated, you know, social media code. She's still there.
Still there.
So, yeah,
And they defend her.
Defend her, absolutely.
Remember Jemele Harris when she came out? What was her tweet about?
I can't remember what it was about. I know it was political in nature.
Yeah, I don't think of it in a minute.
It was definitely left wing or something.
It was very strong.
It was very strong. But, you know, I think, you know, as you have this podcast going, and I see where my podcast is going, a lot of what I talk about is with athletes, and we get political. I've had you on. I've had Scott Baio on talk about it. Curt Schilling started getting political. I think it's time for a sports conservative style talk show.
Yeah.
You know, some kind of, you know, sports center rival that's, hey, you know, I guarantee you, think about all the people out there that voted for Trump. It was a unbelievable upset. Nobody saw it coming, but I did. Think about all those people that are in the middle America. They're not on Twitter. They're not on social media. And those are the ones that are the silent majority that voted for him. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, all those people would watch that type of show too.
Yeah.
That would rival ESPN.
No, I agree. And your podcast is great, by the way. Folks need to be tuning in, subscribing to it, and listening to it off the cuff with Aubrey Huff, yeah. Which pisses me off that's such a great name.
You know? Well, I wanted to name it that, too, because, I mean, like I said, I don't want it to be just a sports show, kind of like you have here, where you have certain guests on and you talk about whatever was on your mind. I like that, man. If you just pigeonhole yourself into just a sports show, I don't even like watching baseball that much. So why the hell would I want to do a podcast on just baseball?
No, I know. And it's you know, the sports have changed and everything's kind of been the way it is. I like going to the games. I typically, you know, like Party Foul's wife, Tony, she's a diehard Houston Astros fan. She'll sit in church and watch it on her phone. I mean, she can't.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She's not missing
now,
a game.
Do you guys, when you go to the games, are you paying for the $15, $16 beers? It's unbelievable.
It is.
Like, as an ex-athlete, man, I never noticed these things. And when I started going to the games myself, I'm like, this is absolute highway robbery.
Yeah.
I mean, why do they do it? Because they can.
They
right?
Can.
I mean, if you take a family of four to a baseball game nowadays, and you're drinking whatsoever, it's going to cost you $600, $700
bucks. Let me tell you
something.
It's true. And if you drink, you know, I drink whiskey. If you go to, say, AT&T Stadium for a Cowboys game or something like that, and you get a double, you know, if you buy two, your drink, your wife a drink, whatever, and it's you get doubles, you just paid $50
right,
bucks
right.
for a cocktail drink.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know if people realize how much I can go through or something.
Right.
I mean, I got to sell a kid.
I'm a professional like drinker. I've been doing it since college, right?
Right.
Like four beers to me, these big ones. I'm just beginning to get warmed up.
Just getting there.
Yeah, it's like a stretch.
So Graham Allen and I, you know, we went. You were there too, Sarah. We went to the game a few months ago. I think Graham and I are going to go to a game here the next night or two, but. Sarah, you can go. It's an open invitation, whatever.
Should I stay longer?
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Why not? But the Rangers are in town this week, so we'll probably go to a game, sweat our ass off, and get some beers. But, you know, Graham, who likes to bitch about how expensive things are, I mean, I got money, so I don't really bitch about it. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I got more than you. I'm loaded.
You got a lot. I know. You're jacked, baby.
I don't have to do this if I don't want to.
Exactly. I wish I made money off a podcast.
I do it because I'm passionate.
If it weren't for live shows, I'd be broke. No, they treat me good here. But Graham, we went in there and I said, y'all watch Graham's reaction. Cause he, first of all, he wants to drink Coors Light. And I'm like, nobody drinks that.
No respectable American person does Coors Light.
And so he's in there and he's like, y'all don't have Coors Light? No, we don't have Coors Light. That's Jesus water. and so I'm like, and I said, so he's going to buy a beer, but watch his reaction. So a can of beer at the ballpark's $11. All right.
$11? That's all?
Yeah. It's a little bit cheaper. So if you get a domestic, like a Bud Light or whatever, it's $9. Okay. So not bad. The ballpark's been faithful about that. But if you get, you know, one of these IPA deals or something like that, it's going to be $11. So he gets, I don't know, a Bud Light or whatever. And he goes, none. But because the guy gave him $1 back in his change from a 10. And he's like, this is all I get. And I'm like, yeah. And I tip him.
Yeah. Right. It's like the bathroom attendant when you go to a restaurant, yeah. Right? You go and you wash your hands. You got feel like you got to give somebody $1. I don't know.
I just don't wash my hands. Just walk on out.
He just walks on out.
That's disgusting.
Like, you want to talk about two of the cheapest people on the planet?
These two
Steves right here.
That's not true, man.
Yeah, it's so goddamn true. Listen, Steve Helms won't even drive his own vehicle. He won't go out unless you pick him up.
Dude, I'm a country music star.
Yeah. So when I hear something on the radio, will I know the song? Have I heard it before?
There's a good chance.
You were probably drunk when you heard it, so you probably would remember.
Well, the problem with living in California is I don't get a whole hell of a lot of country selection.
Or you don't get the Texas country music
scene either, which is
a whole different genre in and of itself.
We're going to have a lot of drinks tonight, and I'm going to explain to you the Texas music scene.
I want to go karaoke with you.
Yes.
Because I got hell of a pipes.
Yes.
Yeah, I got some pipes when I put some beers down.
Sometimes we make this show a musical, and because we joke about how life, what if life was just like a musical?
Yeah.
And we'll just break out in song.
There you go.
You know, or just whatever topic we're talking about.
I can sing Amarillo by Morning right now.
Do it. Come on.
Can you Amarillo get, by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I've got is just what I've got on. So when I have some beers in a few heaters, it's even better.
I like it.
Take your Cialis, we'll pop an Adderall, have a cigarette, and a few beers.
Oh, and I'm right as rain.
Our song's going to be like.
and we'll all dream of being from Dominican Republic.
Yeah. Then I would definitely need this to keep the blood flowing.
I want to have dreams of Mad Bum.
Oh.
But you told me when they were talking about, you know, rushing the mound and stuff like that, and the guy would have spouted off on Twitter or whatever about Russian Bumgardner.
Oh.
And you said, I wish you would have.
Yeah, it was Yasiel Puig.
Puig.
Now, in his own right, the guy's a massive human being.
Sure.
Puig's from Cuba. You know, the guy's affected. And I mean, he's probably wrestled sharks to get here, right? Yeah. I mean, the guy's huge.
Probably rode one.
Yeah, probably. I mean, this guy looks tough, right? But Bumgarner has hit him a couple times. And all Puig has ever done is like bark, bark, bark. Yeah. And I remember at one point, I think it was in L.A., I think Bum hit him.
It was in L.A.
Yeah. And then he just kind of threw his glove down, Bumgarner did, and looked at him, come on! And Puig looked like shocked. He just walked to first, right? Mouthing off. Trust me, you do not want to fight Bumgarner. He has this little thing in the clubhouse.
Apparently he's got a big thing.
Well, they are. No. He loves to wrestle, right?
Yeah.
And every so often, somebody will challenge him to a wrestling match, a friendly wrestling match. And I've seen many a guy go up against him, and within 5 or 10 seconds, they're on the ground, right? And one day, I thought to myself, I'm going to get this dude. I'm going to be the one guy that's taking him down in a wrestling match. Within 4 seconds, he had me on the ground, tied up like he would rope a cow, right? And I felt his knee in my back. Not only his knee, but the anaconda was rubbing it, too. And I'm like, nope.
You can never feel his
heartbeat. I can feel the pulse. But this guy is man strong. I'm talking old
country boy
strong, man. He's a legend in his own right. What he's done in the playoffs, World Series, dominance, there's no pitchers knowing what he's done. He's definitely got a pair on him. He's just got that ice cold vibe about him. I guess you'd be confident too if you were packing what he had, but
I mean, he's got it. And I mean, you see him in person and it's like that big around. And, you know, these boys are strong.
Well, I mean, he's probably 6'5", and
he's a big boy.
Shoulders this big. He's just a massive individual.
Just in shape. I mean, that's the deal.
Yeah.
Just in shape.
Well, he's in beer drinking shape.
Yeah. Gotcha.
He's got that old man body. Like, Puig is just like
he's muscled up.
Yeah, he's muscled up.
Yeah. What? God, why did his name just slip out of my head? Yo, the starting pitcher with San Francisco with the hair.
Tim Lincecum.
Tim Lincecum. I was. I knew it was Tim L, and the name fell out of my head. And he was virtually unhittable for a long time.
He was. And since he's retired from baseball, nobody's heard about him. He came to the Rangers for a while.
Yeah.
He was here with the Rangers for a while. He had this hip thing going on. But
is that why? Because he kind of fell off. Because he just couldn't get it together.
It was his hip. He had this. He had such a massive stride for his. It was scientifically proven. They said, like, your stride can only be as tall as you are. I think he's like 5'10". And his stride was going over 6 feet.
Wow.
And so it put a tremendous amount of torque on his hips. And that's what made him so dominant, his ability to be so little and reach out there and deliver the baseball that he did. But yeah, man, he was an amazing, amazing guy. He's one of those dudes that you give the shirt off his back to you. Nobody's heard from him since, though. Since he's retired from baseball, he's went dark. Nobody that's played with him has any idea where he is.
Yeah, he just vanished.
Yeah, I mean, it's no secret. He was a big weed guy, you know. His dad's really involved in his life. I don't know where he is, but unbelievable teammate, unbelievable person. I'd love to hear from him. So, Tim, if you're hearing.
Tim, if you're listening.
Yeah.
If you're listening, sure you're watching the Chad Prather show, Blaze TV.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Speaking of Blaze TV, it might be his kind of show.
Like, damn, you heard about this network called Blaze? Totally not what I was thinking.
not really.
But how hard is it these days to be a franchise player?
To be a player that's there their whole career? Yeah.
You were talking about Bryce Harper a little while ago, and he was with Washington, and then we had, I remember McCann, who was with the Braves, then went to New York, and I hated to see him go. You know, there's just not a lot of those guys.
Well, it's not going to happen anymore. Yeah. There's too much money involved. Yeah. Back in the day, the biggest contract, I think, when I first came up was Greg Vaughn. He signed like a 4-year, $40 million deal. And he had 50 home runs that year, right? Yeah. And that was a huge deal. I'm like, wow, that's life-changing money. Now you're seeing guys signing for 330, Stanton 300, Manny Machado 300 million. The money is too great for anybody to stay in one place. Now, there might be that special situation where, you come up with an organization, you're so good, like the Yankees, where you can't afford a player like that and keep them, like kept Jeter all those years. Mm-hmm. They can't afford it, but like a team like the Nationals, they can't afford to pay $330 million.
Right.
It would be very rare. I would say the only types of teams that could do that to keep a franchise player would be like Red Sox or the Yankees, Dodgers.
Yeah.
Other than that, probably San Francisco even, maybe. But other than that, man, it's just not going to happen.
I tell you what, from a fan's perspective, the Nationals have a great ballpark. I mean, it's a fun place to visit a game and stuff, but it's empty. There's nobody there, so there's no way they can board those contracts.
Well, I think that's the whole stadium being filled thing, that's a misconception people have. The TV money is where it's at.
Right, right.
The attendance is great because it's going to get you concessions and stuff like that. But when you're talking pure the money that you're paying players, all this big money, that's coming from TV deals.
But that's the thing. I mean, you lose a Bryce Harper and you're not getting that you're not doing Monday Night Baseball.
Well, and you're also losing a little bit of money on the bidding wars that TV stations will give you. Like, okay, I would probably give you $700 million for the year if you have Bryce Harper on the team. But if you don't, well, maybe we'll only give you $300 million.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's the TV money's where it's at.
Yeah, that's a crazy, crazy deal. I love the game of baseball, man. Because you compared it. Somebody signed a huge contract just a couple of months back, and time runs together, I guess, at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. And you compared his stats and your stats.
It was Manny Machado.
Manny Machado.
I got a lot of shit for that.
You did catch a lot of shit for that.
But if you look at the stats, the first 7 years of my career compared to Manny Machado's first seven years, the old school stats, right? Mm-hmm. The home runs, the RBIs, the average, the runs, all those things. We were to a T comparable, right? But all the analytic nerds came out. Oh, what was your WAR and your spin rate and your OPS? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just talking about old school stats, the ones that really mattered back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. And he's a $330 million player. I just want to give a barometer on how much the money has changed in just my first 7 years from 2000, 2007 to where it is now. And that wasn't that long ago. It just happened like that, the money.
Yeah, that's craziness. Mm-hmm. Pure craziness.
Where will it be in another 10, 15 years?
I know. We'll be a socialist country by then.
No, that's a great point. Everybody's going to give it away.
It'll be like playing ball in Cuba. Mm-hmm. Everybody will be trying to go to Korea.
Right.
So we can play in Japan or something like that. Yeah. No, get that FU money while you can.
That's right, man. That's right. Do what you can. You're done by 40. Get as fast as you can.
Believe me. That's crazy.
When those paychecks stop coming, like when I retired, man, that was a tough-ass transition.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden now, it's not almost, it's not really, even if you do get a job that you like, you see that paycheck every 2 weeks, you're like, what? Mm-hmm. I was clearing $400,000 every 2 weeks. This is $294. Is this right?
Yeah. That's like being a country music star and getting royalties.
I mean, that's
brutal.
Yeah. So in a lot of ways, it's tough to find something that's that exciting out of baseball when you retire to do, that's that adrenaline, the brotherhood, all those things, the travel. You just cannot replace that, man. So you almost have to turn your mind off into a different world to not associate yourself as a baseball player anymore. But hey, man, this is regular life. Kind of sucks. But hey, you got to deal with it. Everybody else does.
Did you guys continually take the same airplane when you did the deal? Did y'all have your planes, or did you get on a commercial plane that they had designated for you?
Only team, the Detroit Tigers, that had their own private plane,
right?
That was them. They had a small little private plane. It was cool. It was nice. But it was like the plane from Major League where they were taping up the wing. It was a little scary.
I remember they had that plane. And I know it's a commercial jet and those kind of things. But do they change the insides of those at all for you guys to accommodate
guys? So you just get on a regular 727, right? Yeah. And typically on a flight, you'd have all the veteran guys in the back. You'd have your own row. Each player pretty much has their own row of three seats. Then you'd have the younger guys as you go forward. And then you'd have the media and the first class of the coaches and staff.
Yeah.
The media, beat writers, guys like that, God forbid they ever came to the back. It won't end well for them. Even the rookie players, you want to go to the bathroom, go up to the first class of the coaches.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always wondered about that because, again, that's grueling.
It is. It is. But what was fun about the big league flights is, you know, if you can picture this, before there's nobody sitting down on takeoff with nobody's seatbelts. And we're all sitting up on the top of the chairs, and one chair is like ripped down so we can play cards around the table. You know, the ladies, flight attendants are all buckled in the back. We're all walking around. One guy would even have a habit of, remember Johnny Gomes?
Yeah, sure.
Remember him? In Tampa, he would take off. As soon as he'd get on takeoff, he'd be in the front of the plane. And as it would take off, he'd have two magazines on his feet and ski down the aisle as we take off.
Yeah, I heard that that's what Motley Crue used to do on their jet, is they had silver trays.
Yeah.
And when it was taken down, they'd stand on the silver tray and ski down the deal.
Probably not the smartest thing to do. No. You know, God forbid you hit a kneecap on one of those seat rails. Whew, I don't know. I was kind of chilling in the back. I was already probably about 12 beers deep by the time we took off, so...
Ball players.
Nah.
Nothing like it, man.
Nothing
like it. That's awesome. The rally thong became a thing when, here's the deal. We were talking about locker room talking things. But, I mean, here you are holding a thong out. It's your rally thong. Mm-hmm. And then you guys win the World Series and pull the Zoolander deal.
So here's the deal, right? 2010. I mean, I'd hate to toot my own horn, but I'm going to.
Listen, I have a saying around here. Yeah. He who tooteth not his own horn remains in a perpetual state of untootedness.
That's good. I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that one.
Yeah, do it.
So I hit 290 that year, 26 homers, 90 RBIs, 100 runs, seventh in the league in MVP voting, right? Won the World Series. All anybody could talk about and remember me from is that damn rally thong, right?
Yeah.
And it was something that it was initially like a gift that I was wearing just for my wife at home, just to kind of spice up the sex life. And at the time, it was like late in the season. We had 30 games left, and we were struggling, and we were like 8 games behind the Padres. I just walked in there one day in the clubhouse. Everybody's getting dressed, and I ripped down all my clothes, and all I had was this thong. I go, boys, I'm going to wear this under my jersey every game for the next 30 days. We're going to go 20-10. When we do, we're going to win this division. Of course, the media was in there. It was meant to be kind of... You know, media's not supposed to report anything unless it's quoted or
right.
Sure enough, it got out, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, we're on the last game of the season. We're up one game on the Padres. They just happened to play us in San Francisco. We were 19-10. We go out there, beat the Padres 20-10. We won that division, went to the World Series, won it all. That thing never came off. So it became kind of a staple. And Bruce Bochy said it best. He goes, Huffy, Huffy. Because I would walk around there pretty much all day with nothing on but that in the locker room. Everybody, you know, the clubhouse people.
Hitting in the cage.
Yeah, just bang, 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 bang. It just became one of those things. I didn't put anything on until it was game time. And so even doing interviews, I'd be sitting here like this in the thong, you know, and reporters right there. And it's just, you know, it's balls to the wall. And I didn't do very
like
many interviews.
Deli meat in a hammock.
And I had this funny thing where I would go put the tickets in for my family, right? And in the center of the clubhouse was this big area where the tickets were, and that's where the media would hang out. So I'd walk over there and nothing but my thong, and I would bend over intentionally in front of some of the female reporters, type in my name, you know, put all the tickets in and walk away. And I remember Bochy came out one day. He's like, "Oh, Aubrey, please go put some clothes on. It looks like you bent over in a hailstorm." And I'm like, "Yeah, I do not have a flattering ass. A little dimply, as I'm sure you know.
Nice little pock marks.
Yeah.
Oh, I love your ass.
Yeah.
It's a hot ass.
This guy kind of
But I loved it because you got, 10,000-15,000 people out there when you're doing this,
sure.
your celebration speech.
Oh, no, a million.
That many out there?
A million people at that parade.
Oh, really?
A million people at the World Series parade.
And you can get it. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, if you YouTube Aubrey Huff rally thong speech, if you guys have seen Zoolander, you know, they had the Hansel and walk off there and you know, Ben Stiller. What was his character's name?
Zoolander.
Yeah, the movie's called Zoolander. So they go down the aisle, and he's reaching into his pants and pulling out the underwear. I thought that'd be a fun skit, so I intentionally stuffed the underwear right there where it's easily reachable. And
yeah.
I did my little speech and told San Francisco, "I have a nice little surprise for you guys. If you've seen Zoolander, I got a special surprise just for you." Stepped over to the podium, started doing the thing,
yeah.
Ripped it off. The place went just absolutely buck wild. They're nuts. So, you know,
people,
San Francisco fans,
shitting in the
San Francisco fans loved me in 2010. Now, not so much. Not so much now. You know, kind of got the conservative views, and "I can't believe you were ever a Giant. How dare you? I just wish you never played here." Well, you wouldn't have a 2010 World Series championship then.
Yeah, there you go. Boom. Yeah. We'll go quit it on that one. We're going to dinner. All right, everybody. Find me, watchchad.com. Find me out on the road. I'm headed up to Calgary. I'll be there August 28th. We're going to do a badass show. We might sell out. Two shows, so who knows? Go get your tickets right now. They are still a few left. And then we're going to be in Branson, Missouri on 9/11, September 11th. That's a benefit show for our foundation, the American Valor Foundation. Go to AmericanValorFoundation.org. Of course, that's Chris Kyle's family. And I'm honored to be on their board of directors. And we're going to be in Folsom on the 14th. We're headed back out to California. So all in September, we got three shows coming up out in California. They've always been good to us. So go buy the tickets, watchchad.com. We got some merch on sale there. Get the podcast Off the Cuff with Aubrey Huff. That's tons of fun. I love it, dude.
Well,
I
had a blast doing this too, man. This is a lot of fun. Like I said, one of the most fun podcasts I've ever did. Not news.
Right.
Channels, but podcasts.
Exactly. I love doing the news and why it matters. You need to do that. We keep referring to Sarah off air. She's sitting over here. But listen, news and why it matters. I love doing that show. There's something about coming into this little studio over here and our little dynamic. And people, you get a little feel for it when you watch it online on Facebook and all that stuff. But when you come in here, I mean, we've had as many as 13 people sitting around here watching us tape, right? Get in the new Studio 22, we're going to have, you know, a lot more space to do stuff like that because it's a fun dynamic because there really is kind of just this thing about over here. Like everybody in the other building over there, they all want to come over here and hang because we just have a blast. It's a free-for-all.
Well, from what I can tell, this is the only place that I see booze.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Shocker.
100%.
That's why everybody, it's not because they like you, it's the booze.
Exactly. There's booze over here. And that's part of the aura. They want to come over and they're like, I hear that. Because I can remember one of our old hosts, he said, you guys have alcohol over there? Are we allowed to do that? And I said, I don't believe in the whole concept of allowed.
We play by the same rules, my friend.
Yeah, I know it. All right. I love y'all. God bless you, Aubrey. Thanks for coming on. The Texas legend, Steve Helms. Check him out. SteveHelmsBand.com. He's all over the place playing music.
Thanks, buddy.
Bossy weirdo. Party Foul Steve's got Party Foul Nation coming out. He's got a whole line of merch. He's going to be rocking and rolling here pretty soon. We got some really cool shirts and a lot of interesting merch there.
Yeah.
We got surprises. We're not going to tell you yet. It'll be up in the next week. The Puppet Master Mark, thank you, buddy, for all that you do. Candice, Queen of the Ethiopians, you are the daughter. You are another daughter that I don't even know what I'm saying. Because I have three daughters. I can't say you're the daughter I never had.
I was about to say.
But like, I have daughters. You're the son I never had.
Oh,
you got a kid! Yeah, but I don't like him. You know, you're like one of my daughters. How about that?
Thank you.
I'll say
appreciate
it that way.
It.
You're like one of my daughters, but intimidating at times, okay?
I'll take it, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to do... So all he ever says is pretty good. So we're going to do a pretty good shirt. And then whenever I get going, she says, okay, we're going to do an okay shirt. All right?
Deal.
It's a good deal. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching. Remember to tell your friends about it. Go over there to where podcasts are offered, like on Apple Podcasts, and scroll down to the bottom where you can leave a review and a 5-star rating. We only allow 5-star ratings. We don't do anything less than that because we're not mediocre. We're excellent, and we love money because we're capitalists, and God bless America. We'll see you next time. Love y'all. Bye.